Kenya by way of the United Kingdom, from California via the East Coast. The life paths of Kate Barron and Gary DeRose were about as far apart as they could be until they crossed in Merida, Mexico. They'll tell us what brought them to Mexico's beautiful and historic Yucatan capital and how they've made themselves at home there in this edition of Finding Your Overseas Paradise. Kate, Gary, thanks for being with me on the show today. I'm talking to you in Merida, Yucatan, Mexico. Is that right? You're at home?
That's correct.
It's a pleasure to talk to you. I know both of you guys, but we haven't seen each other for a while. Susan and I have been out of the city. Catch us up on what's going on in your lives right now. How is life in Merida? It's summertime there, so I know it's hot. Are you guys working around that?
Yeah, we're working on getting out of town for a month.
Where are you going?
We're going to drive to Chiapas, spend the month of July there. Then we'll be coming back to Merida the first week of August, and then we're going to Isla Mujeres for the last 2 weeks of August.
It's easy to do that, I know, for Merida because it's so centrally located. Have you had this trip in planning for a long time now?
We have, but it's not that difficult to do from here. We can be in Palenque in a day and in San Cristobal and Chiapas in another day. In fact, even less time than that. So.
Yeah, one of the great things about Merida is so centrally located to all that great stuff around it, including all the archaeological sites, all those great Maya ruins. I want to get a little bit of your background before we get into what you're doing right now in Merida. Kate, let's start with you. What was the process that actually got you to Merida to begin with?
What was the process that got me to Merida to begin with? Well, I'd spent 6 months here two years ago, mm-hmm. And really liked Mexico, but I wasn't here in Merida. I had come to visit friends and spent a few weeks here. And, you know, just really liked, you know, Mexico, like I said. But I was on the Caribbean and realized that it was very expensive, and I knew I couldn't afford to kind of live in that area without
the coast,
a really good job.
Yeah.
And so I actually just, you know, moved here from Kenya where I was living. I really liked Merida. What was the process? I just, you know, got on a plane and came, basically.
And we call the process flight.
Flight, yeah. It's a new thing.
Could get you on, though.
Yeah, it could be big.
There wasn't really much process involved where I'm concerned.
Yeah. Where I should ask where you're from originally, Kate, because your accent tells me that you're not from the United States or Canada.
No, absolutely not. Well, I was born in England and grew up in England, and just after university left England and went to live in Italy. So my accent is kind of a mix, really.
Mm-hmm.
You're right, not North American, that's for sure.
And you actually didn't meet Gary until you got to Merida, so that lets us segue into Gary's story. Yeah. Gary, I know you came to Mexico from the West Coast, but that's not where you started out, is it?
Well, I'm originally from New York and grew up in New York State, and then lived in Europe for 3.5 years before I finally settled in California. I lived in the San Francisco Bay Area for about 28 years, but I moved here directly from the San Francisco Bay Area about 4 years ago now.
And what prompted that move for you? A lot of people move just on a spur of the moment. Was there any research involved on your part? Were you looking for a special place to go?
I had come to the Yucatan maybe a couple of years before that, just on a vacation on the Caribbean, and met some people at the hotel we were staying at, and we just started talking about Mexico and the Yucatan, and this gentleman had mentioned to me that if I liked the Yucatan in Mexico, this part of the Caribbean really wasn't it. He suggested that I fly into a city called Merida because of its central location and use that as a kind of the hub of the wheel to go out and explore different areas in the Yucatan. And so I took his advice and I did come here and wound up falling in love with Merida.
Yeah.
I did do what he suggested. I kept returning to Merida, and it just dawned on me what a wonderful, wonderful city it was. And that just kind of got the wheels turning, I guess. And originally, I was just looking. I think when I originally started to think about buying something here, I was thinking of something more like a vacation home. But
right. That was my next question. You actually turned into a property owner there in Merida. I've seen your house. It is a beautiful place. Did you go through any special flips and twists to actually buy that house in Merida? What was the purchase process for you like there buying property in Merida as a foreigner, Gary?
Well, it was surprisingly simple, I have to say. I mean, that's not to say you don't hear horror stories from people that the home they're trying to buy, the title and who is on that title can sometimes be in doubt. But for me, it was a very simple process, really. And I'm no real estate whiz. I mean, I'm the kind of guy who buys a house to live in, and I've never speculated on a piece of property in my life.
Right.
So I was surprised, a stranger in a strange land. I thought it'd be much more complicated and convoluted. But it was a pretty straightforward process. You know, Merida became or has become in the past 20 years or so a popular place for people to move to from the United States and Europe and Canada. So consequently, there are a number of knowledgeable people down here helping foreigners to purchase real estate. There's
yes.
also some people who are not terribly knowledgeable trying to be in the real estate business.
But there is a well-established community of expats and people in Merida, locals, who cater to the expat trade to help people out when they get down there. You're absolutely right. Kate, let me ask you. We get asked all the time. You know this. I know this because Susan and I also live in Merida. People
ask often that, enough.
Well, I know. We'll be back there soon. Don't worry, G-Tone. People ask us all the time about security issues and safety issues. Kate, what, in your opinion, what's the security situation in Merida? Is it a safe place to live?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've lived kind of all over the place, and I think I have to say Merida is extremely safe. I feel very comfortable meeting girlfriends for drinks and going to parties mm-hmm. alone, and then walking home at night, never felt, in danger at all.
Gary, you concur with that? Are you happy with the safety situation in Merida?
Well, when I've walked home from parties alone, Dan, I find I'm often exhausted. No, for a city of this size, it's remarkably safe. I'm not exactly sure of the date, but I think about 5 years ago, the New York Times called it the safest city of over 1 million people anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That brings up a good point. Merida is of a size to have just about everything that you could want. There are about 1 million people in the metropolitan area. But for a city that size, it is incredibly safe, tranquil, fun. One of the reasons it's become so popular with expats the past few years. That gets us to Merida and both of you being there, but you didn't actually know each other before you both got to Merida. Is that right? How did you guys get together?
That's a nice question. We met through mutual friends. I was here visiting a couple of friends that live here part-time, and they introduced us. Simple as that.
Wow.
Yeah, they didn't introduce us thinking that we'd be interested in each other.
It wasn't a matchmaking exercise. It was.
Oh, no, absolutely
no,
not.
No, I think they were a little surprised and maybe even a touch disappointed when they found out, but they're okay with it now.
And since we're laughing about Merida and things personal, I know part of what you do for fun in Merida, Gary, because I called you G-Tone a little earlier. That's your persona as one of the legendary Yucatones in Merida. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I've been a musician all my life. Once in my 30s, other things took precedence, you know, family, home, mortgage, career, that sort of thing. But I always tried to keep my hand in it. And when I realized once my son was ensconced in college that I could live wherever I wanted and sort of take early retirement, I thought, why not get back to being a musician? And again, that's another reason I wanted to live in a large city. I'm not very good at living in small beach communities and that sort of thing, because I need that access to music and musicians. And I thought Merida, much of the research I did and the reading I did about it, led me to believe wholeheartedly that it was a very cultural city that would have a good deal of musicians. Unfortunately, I happened to meet you first, and that was that.
And that's a story in and of itself. We actually met via email before you even arrived in Merida, and talk about meant to be. We were kind of destined to sit down and sing a couple of songs together, and what grew out of that was the legendary Yucatones, a duo extraordinaire based in Merida, Mexico.
If we say so ourselves.
If we do say so ourselves.
Oh, but actually, it has been a very fruitful relationship for me. I really enjoyed it. It couldn't have worked out better.
And that's not the only thing you do musically in Merida. You are one of those guys who can sit in with almost anybody. You actually do a little bit of big band singing as well, don't you?
I had, yeah. When I first got down here, I was singing with an 18-piece jazz orchestra, but the... I think the same things that have affected the economy in the United States and Europe have had an effect out here as well. So the economy is not such that it can really support an 18-piece orchestra. So, but I do sing with occasionally with a jazz quartet and just recently with a country western trio. So,
and oddly enough, Merida is the kind of place that can support that kind of musical activity. Like you say, that's something you won't find in a little beach community, those kinds of options. That takes care of your fun and entertainment. Kate, what do you do in your spare time? You've been around the world. You got to Merida from Kenya.
Yes.
What does Merida offer you as far as entertainment and cultural opportunities?
I'm very active, and I like to keep myself fairly busy, but at the same time, I also like my own company, so I also spend a lot of time reading and that kind of thing. But, you know, as I said initially, I'm quite active, so I run and I do yoga a couple of times a day, and there's some really good yoga studios here. Mm. And then I've made friends, you know, girlfriends around my same age, and, you know, oftentimes we'll, you know, a couple of times a week, maybe we'll have lunch, go to the English library, which I'm becoming a member of, so check out books and mm-hmm. little social life around the library. You know, you just kind of keep busy, and then I'm you know, I have a home to run, so I have, you know, quite a bit to do myself. So that's basically, I'd say, Gary and I are both quite social, so we like to entertain, we love to cook, so we have people over, and there's a busy social life here in the evening that you can participate in if you choose, and if not, you stay home and watch a movie.
Gosh, it sounds just like real life.
It is.
Well, Dan, if I may, Thursday night, 9:00, El Hoyo, the return of the legendary Yucatones. You do not want to miss. No trip to the Yucatan would be complete without seeing the legendary Yucatones. This has been a public service announcement.
That's right. And this podcast will very likely air the night before the legendary Yucatones hit El Hoyo in downtown Merida for Night of a Thousand Mistakes, because...
God damn, I better alert the airport to the extra traffic that might be coming in for that.
It could pack up a little bit. You guys, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a pleasure talking to you. It makes me even more anxious to see you both when Susan and I get back there next week. We're really looking forward to it, and we will see you soon. Thanks again.
Sure, Dan. See you in a few days.
Sign up for International Living's free daily postcards at internationalliving.com/radio and get a free report on the world's top retirement havens. These free daily postcards will give you more information on living the good life for less overseas. Thanks for listening to International Living Radio. You can hear more episodes of Finding Your Overseas Paradise at internationalliving.com/radio.